And I'm having, we'll take a prayer request in a minute. And Leviticus chapter 25. This Bible is something else. When you read this thing, you go, wow. I know when I was reading, when I first started reading the Bible, I didn't understand anything of it. I didn't understand nothing. And the more you read it, the more you get to understand things. And things start jumping out at you. And it's like a verse that jumped out at me. It's in Leviticus 25. And let's see. Look at Leviticus 25, verse 23. Leviticus 25, 23, it says, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. God talking about the land of Israel. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me. In all the land of your possessions, ye shall grant a redemption for the land. Let's go back to verse 1. And it's talking about the Sabbath. And the reason why the children of Israel, why they had that 490 years that was they're going to be taken out of the land was because they wouldn't obey God and they wouldn't allow the land to rest. They wouldn't obey God and what he told them to do about the land. And not only was it the land, but it was some other things that they were rebellious, and God told them about this, that he said there's going to be a Sabbath of rest for the land, and they wouldn't do it. And look what the Bible says in chapter 25, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. Not only was the people were supposed to keep a Sabbath, but the land was keeping the Sabbath. And he said, what do you mean? They weren't supposed to plow the land on the seventh year. They weren't supposed to put any seed in the ground. It was just going to leave it lay. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyards, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyards. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vineyard undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. So God told him, said, you're going to let this thing rest on the seventh year. And he said, if you don't, then what will happen is eventually I'll take you out of your land. And they didn't do it. They the first year they might have did it. On 7 years came up, and they were just wanting to see the crops grow. But then the Lord told him, he says, if you'll let the land rest, I'll give you 3 years in 1 year. I'll give you 3 years, 3 years of a harvest in 1 year if you let it rest. And man, can you imagine plowing a ground and then getting the 6 year, you take 3 years in of for 1 year. That's wild. And look what he said that happened. He says, that which groweth of his own, verse 5 and 6, it says, the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servants, and for thy maid. He says, if you let it rest, let the land rest, and let it grow of its own. And, whatever is going to be for whoever come by, it's going to be for the animals, it's going to be for the poor, and whatever comes up, they can have. For thy hired servants, and for thy strangers that sojourn with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in the land, in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. But he says, thou shalt number 7/7 of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the seventh Sabbath of years shall be unto thee 49 years. So he says, you'll measure it out. And then the 50th year was the year of the Jubilee. And the year of the Jubilee, that was a good year, man, the 50th year. And that was it was called the year of Jubilee. So people, whatever they owed or whatever debt, if somebody was sold as a slave, they sold themselves because they were poor. They couldn't make it. They were to be let go free on that 50th year. Everything was, the book started over. It was cleared. Everything was cleared. Amen. And God said, that 50th year is going to be Jubilee. Now, when I was down south, they always had, they had a Jubilee every year. They call it a Jubilee. It's a liberty. It means liberty, being set free. And there's people that's, in bondage all over. Christians are in bondage. And we get in liberty. But if you get liberty from the Lord, what a blessing that is when you get set free on some things. And verse 8, and when we got saved, we got set free. But what happens is, that's why Paul said, why you go yoke yourself back up to the beggarly elements of this world. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbath of the years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7th Sabbath of years shall be unto thee 49 years. And then shalt thou cause the trumpets of the jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, and the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man into his family. See, he said, if you sold your possession, then you could go back to it and take over and, you know, get it back. You can get it back. If you sold a piece of ground and you didn't have the money to pay it back, it was set for you. It was taken care of. Now, you couldn't go outside of your inheritance. If you went outside your inheritance and sold your land, then that land went back to that tribe, whatever tribe that was. And look what verse 10 says. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof, and it shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession. Ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you, and ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather of the grapes in it, of thy vine undressed, for it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. If thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyeth aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress the one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, thou shalt buy it of thy neighbor. And according unto the number of years of the fruits, ye shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof. And according to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years that of the fruit doeth he sell unto thee. And ye shall not therefore oppress one another, and thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety. And the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the 7th year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessings upon you in the 6th year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the 8th year and eat there yet of the old fruit until the 9th year, until her fruit come in, ye shall eat of the old store. And the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, and ye are strangers and sojourners with me. For in all the land of your possession, ye shall grant a redemption for the land. So when Ruth came back, or when Naomi came back from Moab, and they didn't have a kinsman redeemer, they didn't think they did. And so Ruth, she didn't own the land anymore. She didn't have none of that. And it was, you know, so the kinsman redeemer, if you read on, you'll find that the kinsman redeemer can redeem that land, can redeem it for them. If they had an uncle or they had a cousin or somebody in the family, they could go and redeem their land and pay back and get it back for them and give it back to them. So look on down. And it's talking about the law of the land. He says, if thy brother be waxen poor and have sold away some of the possession of any of his kins, come to redeem it. Then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man that have none to redeem it, himself be able to redeem it. And then let him count the years of the sale thereof and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return on his possession. So he can count up the years and you know, get how much fruit or whatever it produced, or he gathered, and you know, that's what he would want the price for. But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath brought it unto the year of the jubilee. And in the jubilee it shall go out, and he shall return on his possession. So he could get it back, but if he didn't, he could get it back in the Jubilee, but he had to wait 50 years for that thing. Now, if he sold it in the 45th year or the 46th year, he'd make it out pretty good. He'd get the land back. Everything came back to him. But say if the reason why it was an inheritance and a generation, so the generations wouldn't lose their land. The generation of children that's coming up, they wouldn't lose it. They would have it in their possession. Now look what it talks about, the dwelling house in a walled city. It says, if a man sell a dwelling house in a walled city, then he may redeem it within a whole year after it is sold, wherein a full year may be he redeem it. But if he be not redeemed within that space of the full year, then the house is in the walled city be established forever to him that brought to, throughout the, his generation. It shall not go out in the Jubilee. So he never got it back. If he didn't buy it back in that first year that he sold it, after he sold it, 1 year went by, he couldn't get it back in the Jubilee. He was trying to think about how to get it back. He had to pay the money or lose it. That's within a city. That's within the walled city. Now, think about this. The Levites didn't have an inheritance. The Levites didn't have no land. God divided up the land, he gave Judah, he gave Simeon, he gave Ephraim, he gave all the land out to different tribes, and they had a plot of land that tribe had. But the Levites didn't have that land. They only had cities. They were called cities of refuge. And in that city of refuge, that was only for the Levites. And the Levites were Moses and Aaron's children. That was the Levites, or the tribe of Levi. So they had cities of refuge. How many can tell me how many cities of refuge were the Levites had? Can anybody tell me that? Yeah.
Seven cities
of refuge? No, six. Six cities. Now, who can show me where they're at? Who can show me in the Bible where the cities of refuge are? Anybody? Can anybody show me the city of refuge? You know, they sing that song, in that city of refuge, I ran. In the city of refuge, the reason why God gave the city of refuge is so if a guy slew his brother or somebody got killed and it was an accident, he ran to the city. If he didn't run from the city, the Bible talks about the revenger of blood could track him down and track him down and kill him. Revenge it for his brother or his cousin or whoever it was. So he would run to the city of refuge, and he would run in there, and then they would have a trial where he was safe inside the city. They couldn't kill him. So then they have a trial and to find out if the guy was guilty or not, if he did it by, you know, he meant to kill him. Anybody can find the city of refuge? Anybody? You looking in your Bible? Yes, ma'am. You had your hand up? No, I thought you had your hand up. Yeah. Go to Numbers 35. Hebron was one of the cities of refuge. And in Hebron, guess where David reigned as king for the first 7 years of his kingship was in the city of Hebron. The Hebron was a city of refuge. David was in that city of refuge, and he was a king to the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, half the tribe of Benjamin. So David was in that city, and then the Bible says the elders of Jerusalem after Abner died, Abner came to bring all the Israel under David, because the son of Saul was dead. Some men killed him, and they brought news to David and thought they were, you know, going to prop up themselves, and David had them killed for what they did. They killed that king, which was over the tribe over Israel, and which was Saul's son. And they thought they were going to get pat on the back. And David said, "No, you are unjust, evil men." And he said, "You're going to die the same way." And they died for it, unjustly, for what they did. Now go to Numbers 35. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in. And ye shall give unto them Give also on the Levites suburbs of for the cities round about them. See that thing? And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for all their beasts. And the suburbs of the city which ye shall give on the Levites shall reach from the walls of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. And ye shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, on the west side 2,000 cubits, on the north side 2,000 cubits, and the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them suburbs of the city. Among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge. Six of them. Number of man. 6 is the number of man. Which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee hither, and to them shall add 42 cities. And it says, so all the cities which ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities, them that be that ye shall give unto their with their suburbs. And the cities that ye shall give shall be of a possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many ye shall give many, and from them that have few ye shall give few. But every one shall give of his city unto the Levites according to their inheritance which he inherited. And the Lord, yeah.
I think you gotta go to Joshua 20 to actually see the names.
Yeah, we'll go to Joshua. Yeah, we're gonna go there. But I wanted to see that how many cities it was. But the cities of refuge was 6, and there was a total of 48 cities around in Israel. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye become over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint your cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee hither, which killed any person at unaware. It's like the guy was cutting a tree down, and the axe head came off and hit a guy in the head and killed him. That dude, he better not go home and pack up his stuff. He better get to the city of refuge and go to Joshua. Go to Joshua 15. Well, Joshua 15 is not the one. Well, you got 20:7. You have Shechem, you have Kadesh. You had Hebron. Look on down in chapter 20 and look at verse 7. They appointed Kadesh in Gilead. They had Shechem in Mount Ephraim. And Kirjath-Jearim, which is Hebron, in the Mount of Judah, on the other side of Jordan by Jericho, eastward. And assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the city tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in the Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the strangers that sojourn among them, that whosoever killeth any person that unaware might flee hither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. So there are 6 cities there. And the first one is Kadesh, the second one is Shechem, and then the third is Hebron, and then the fourth is Bezer, and the fifth is Ramoth, and the sixth is Golan, the Golan Heights. So that's where the Golan Heights is. So you got those 6 cities God gave for anybody, if they killed somebody by accident. Now, sometimes you had a guy that killed people, not by accident, but ran to the city, but then they had a trial. They had a trial right there where the slayer of blood couldn't come in and kill him by himself. So he had to go to trial, and then they dealt with him and find out if he was guilty of having something against the guy, talking, saying, I'm going to kill you, that kind of thing. It was a trial that went on. So it was just. But back to the land, the Sabbath, and all that stuff, God gave all that land. And he gave it for a reason. He said, this land's got to rest. And then they wouldn't let it rest. They wouldn't let the thing that God gave them all the avenues that they could justly rule and reign. You know, take your Bible, look in Leviticus 26. And let's see. Leviticus 26, and look at verse 1. Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven images, neither rear you up a standing image. That's why we don't have images. Neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down. It's not, if you, you know, you got images of Stonewall Jackson, you got images of George Washington, you got those images, but nobody bows down to them and worships them. They're not like they do in China and Japan, all that. They bow down to Buddha and worshiping, kissing, and all that stuff. The Pope, they have statues of Mary and all that. They kiss the feet right off of it. And, you know, the Bible says, bow down on it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments, check this out, and do them, then will I give you rain in due season. We've had plenty of rain. The land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach onto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach onto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land. Ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. Ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase, how many? How many? So God called the guy, God called a guy named, just had him on the tip of my tongue, Gideon, and he said, Gideon, all these men came with Gideon, and God said, that's too many. God gave him 300 to take on a whole army. And they didn't fire a shot of arrows. They didn't do anything. All they did was have lights and break some pitchers and trumpets, and they blew trumpets. And man, the enemy killed each other. They went crazy and started killing each other. Look what he says, 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. So when they came up out of Egypt and Jericho, they came to Jericho and they marched around Jericho for 7 days. And first day they went one time, and the second day they went one time, and they blew the trumpets. And I mean, the people at Jericho, they were laughing at them. They were saying, look at them crazy Jews. Look what they're doing, marching around there, blowing the trumpet. The wall was so thick that they said you could run chariots side by side on top of that wall. That's how thick it was. They said, no way they're going to take this down. It's no way. So Joshua says, tells them, keep quiet. They're going to heckle you. They're going to say stuff. Just keep your mouth shut. Just march around. Amen. We're marching Zion, you know. So, and they marched around that thing. And then the seventh day, he said, we're going seven times. And then blow the trumpets. And guess what? God knocked the walls down. Amen. So then they had the great victory. You know, Rahab the harlot, she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. She helps out the spies. So then you go to the next city that they go up against, and they came to Joshua and said, hey, let's not send everybody up. They didn't pray about it. They didn't ask God about it. But Achan went inside Jericho, took his Babylonian garments and a little silver and some gold and kind of tucked it away. That city, they weren't supposed to touch nothing in that city. Amen. That was all going to be dedicated to God. But Ai and the rest of the city, God said, you can have it. So Achan was greedy. And whenever people get greedy, look out. Amen. When it's all about you. And they got greedy. He got greedy. And he caused his whole family to die. Children and everything.
That's right.
So they go to Ai, and Joshua still, you know, he's a leader now, and he had all these victories so far. Everything's good. And he comes to Ai, and they say, hey, Josh, let's not send everybody up. Just send a few thousand. They'll take care of that city. Ain't no problem. They go up there. 36 men die on the you know, marching up there. They die. They knew something was wrong. When one man died, they knew something was wrong. Why? They weren't supposed to die. They weren't used to having to wound it. God said, I'll be with you. I'll go before you. I'll fight for you. They weren't used to it. When those 36 men dropped dead from, you know, arrows or whatever it was that came at them, they knew something wasn't right. God ain't here. God ain't with us. So they started running, and the men of Ai came out after them. So then Joshua fell on his face. He's ready to quit. He's ready to give it up. He said, man, what did God, what have we, you know? And God says, shut up, get up. There's sin in the camp. So Joshua has, and he has all the tribes. How are you going to find out? How are you going to find out if the guy stole? Who is it? Who are you going to find out? And God said, let all the tribes come before you. And they walked before him. And finally, the tribe, I forget what tribe it was. I think it was Judah, yeah. And God says, stop them right there, Judah. And Joshua says, stop. It's somebody in the tribe. And then they passed family by family, family by family. And God said, ah, stop. This family right here. And then Joshua goes, give God the glory. What'd you do? And the guy confessed it. You talking about a miracle. And they go and find out, he hid it. Who would have found out? God knew. That's why you can't hide nothing from God. They end up winning the victory over Ai, but Joshua burned that thing to the ground. That was his, you know, one of his defeats. But look here. He says, 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword, and I will give respect on you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you, and ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. God says, aren't you tired of being a slave? Yeah. Don't go back. He says, I have broken the hands of your yoke and made you go upright. Yoke, he said, you're talking about they were like this. Pulling the plow, whatever they had to do. I'll break that yoke. So whenever, that's why I say it's hard to comprehend, but I know it's in all of us, prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. We're prone to go back. That's in us. And God said, don't do it. Because every time I've seen, every time you've church been around long enough, every time we see people that come in that's been backslid for years, they come in and they fall on the altar. Or they get mad and go back out and say, everybody's judging me. I seen a guy, me and Eric's out there at the Dollar Store General the other day. And I'm talking to Eric. Eric was in his van looking at his bank account, and I took my truck and bumped him. He jumped out of the truck and then thought somebody done hit him. And so we sat there and talked, and a guy rode by and said, hey, preacher. I went, Doug, where you been, boy? I said, you know, how long has it been? You haven't been in church. He said, 20 years. You know, Doug preached in this pulpit. He got up here, and I was telling Eric, I said, he got up here and preached in this pulpit, and he got up and he said, I'll never leave this place. This place I'll stay. 2 weeks, he was gone. 20 years later. Doug, where you been? My wife left me. Huh? Four times and divorced four times. My God, man. I said, Doug, you need any time? I said, come here, boy. Come here, hug. He's a big old boy. Got out of the truck. I hugged him. I said, about time to get back in. But you know what the devil will do? Unless he breaks that yoke and say, God, help me. God will break the yoke. What he'll do, the devil will say, you can't go back. What are they going to say? They're going to be talking about you. I'm talking about him now. But I want to see him come back.
Amen.
Hey, the devil will say, you know, there's too much water on the bridge, man. You know, it's already been done. You don't need, and he won't humble yourself.
That's
right. Pride gets you. Amen. And the Bible says the devil is the king of all the children of pride.
Amen.
And you know what? You got it in you. I got it in me.
Right.
Just as bad as Doug, I got it.
Right.
And wasn't the grace of God, I'd be Doug.
Amen.
We'll get into more of this stuff. But, man, pray for Doug tonight. We go to prayer. Brother Ken, you want to come up?
Yeah.